Welcome into another edition of the Dan and Victory podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. I am Rick, and I am joined by the legend, Brian Snow. Snow, the first evaluation period of July came and went this past week. The coaches had a chance to get out. There were a lot of all the big shoe companies were represented with a big tournament. And basically, we just wanted to take this time to break down what sort of came out, what the takeaways were from those big shoe events last week and the coaches being out on the road. So, we'll jump right into things, starting with the point guard position, because I think that's been the biggest conversation that we've had on the message board since really going back to the winter now. And we know who the targets are, but this week it kind of got there was a lot of excitement, I think, on the message board because the addition of Kobe Simmons' name, who has been a name that's always kind of been out there. I mean, we talked about him really early on when Xavier was was recruiting him, and then it just was like, this doesn't seem very realistic because, you know, he's a top five player in the class. But now he's got a top six. Xavier's in that top six, and he's making an official visit. What should fans make of the Kobe Simmons news this week?
Well, yeah, like we talked about on the message board, I mean, Xavier's clearly in it. I thought, you know, this was kind of a done deal to Kentucky when Kentucky offered. But the more I talk to people who know the situation, the more that does not seem to be the case. So Xavier's really in it. They have absolutely everything working in their favor in terms of connections to Kobe. Now, that doesn't mean they're getting him, but, you know, they're – Xavier's never going to have more connections to a top five player than this one, or top 10 player, whatever he's going to be. So there's a lot of reason for excitement. And I think Xavier's clearly in his top three with Kentucky and Ohio State.
I want to go on record as saying that I think Kentucky gets him. I think that's how this ends up. But I will say, when you're a Xavier and you're trying to land a kid of this caliber, or really any, you know, five star, especially when you're talking not number 25, when you're talking the top 10 kids, the NBA one and done type kids, if you're a Xavier and you're trying to land one of the kids, basically what you're asking them to do is come here and shock the world. Come here and be our guy that puts our program on the map. Come here and be that guy that finally gets us over the hump and puts us in a Final Four situation or a national championship. That's what you're kind of trying to sell that guy on, is, yeah, you could go to a UK and be one of many guys, or you could come here and be our guy. And the only thing I would say that really is intriguing about Xavier right now is you look at the roster that he'd be playing with, and it's a roster that he could probably see himself, you know what, like, these guys can play. I could see myself winning with these guys. And then you look at all the other connections that we mentioned on the message board with his family and his father, you know, the Cincinnati connections and the Alan Payne connection and Kaiser Gates being his best friend. There's more working in Xavier's favor this time than there's ever been in a situation like this. Now, again, I think he ends up at UK, but it is at least interesting because essentially what you have to do is sell the kid on that dream, is he's going to come and be the guy that turns, you know, not turns your program around, but puts them on the map and makes them big time. And this is maybe the best situation one of those types of guys could ask for. He's got a lot of familiarity, you know, a lot of people he knows. There's a lot working in the favor, as you mentioned. So certainly interesting. Snow, the other two guys that were definitely the biggest topics of conversation this week were obviously Xavier Simpson and Quinn Gooden. And both of these guys played really, really well. And I think that was kind of the question we had going into this evaluation period was, I mean, we know where Xavier stands with them. We know what Xavier's course of action is, which is recruit them as hard as they possibly can until these kids make a decision. The real question was, what happens sort of with the Michigan State, Cassius Winston saga? And, you know, does, like, Xavier Simpson, for example, play so well that Michigan State just says, screw it, we're not waiting for anyone, we'll take the first commitment we can get, even if that's Xavier Simpson. What's sort of your take on that whole situation after, especially watching Xavier Simpson play this week at Peach Jam?
You know, Xavier was tremendous at Peach Jam. He reminds me a ton of TJ McConnell.
By the way, let me point out real quick, third leading scorer and leading assist man at the entire tournament.
Yeah. I mean, he was great. As I said, he reminds me of TJ McConnell from Arizona. You know, he's not a great shooter, but he's a capable shooter. Not an elite athlete, but a great defender, tough kid, all the intangibles, just a winning dude. And he really showed. Now, Quentin Gooden, I didn't see. I heard he had some down games and then some really good games. Quentin's that, you know, 6'2", 6'3", Samaje looking athletic kid who can, you know, pass it some and is getting a better scoring. So both of them are, you know, had great weeks. The interesting thing here with Xavier is I think he's set to take visits to Purdue and Iowa State the first two weekends in August. Haven't fully confirmed that with his father yet. I'll see him this weekend in Chicago, talk to him there. And after those, he might be ready to make his decision. I don't think Xavier needs to get him back on campus. He's been on campus 38 times. There's just kind of no need. I'm sure they'll say, hey, you want to visit? We can visit, but you can only show the kid the Cintas Center so many times. So, you know, something could be happening soon. And Michigan State, you know, they were watching Cassius. They weren't watching X for the most part. And part of that probably had to do with they know they're getting X if they offer him. Part of that might have to do with they've decided they're all in on Cassius. The fact that Michigan State hasn't offered as of the recording of this podcast says something. I don't know that X can play his way into an offer the rest of the month. So that's certainly something to monitor. If he does not go to Michigan State, you know, Xavier's still the odds-on favorite. With Quentin Gooden, there's talk of a Xavier visit for Midnight Madness. There's talk of one in August. I've heard from people who talked to Quentin this weekend that he really likes Florida and Michigan. I tend to think Florida, Michigan, and Xavier are kind of the three. Michigan also seems content to wait on Cassius Winston. So then you get into Florida and Xavier. And I can look at a U.S. map and tell you Gainesville's a long way from Campbellsville, Kentucky.
Yep.
So, you know, Xavier looks to be in a good spot. And where this gets really interesting is let's say X is ready to commit in August or Quentin's ready to commit in August. Well, then you got Kobe Simmons visiting on September 4th. How does Xavier manage this situation? Can they talk a Kobe or – I don't think Kobe's going to care one iota. Well, but can they talk of Quentin Gooden or an Xavier Simpson into you know, playing with Kobe, who both of them could, by the way. I just don't think they want to.
I was going to say, it's not ideal for either Quentin or Xavier, but at the same time, if both of them are ready to commit first and you have this Kobe Simmons situation potentially on the horizon, like if you're Xavier, there's no question. You just take Gooden or Simpson without asking. You get them committed, and you deal with Simmons later because that's still, you know, in a lot of ways, a long shot and somewhat of a pipe dream. But it, like you said, if that situation does arise, the good news is Kobe Simmons doesn't care. Like, Kobe Simmons knows he's playing. So if one of the others are already committed, like, yeah, there's the potential they decommit. But at the same time, how does that really look when you consider yourself to be a top player? You say you want to win championships. Xavier goes out and gets a 6'5 kid who's a top five player in the country and says, this is how we're going to win championships. And then you say you can't play with him. I think the coaches would be able to massage that situation enough, play these guys' pride against themselves enough to say, this is what you want. You want to play with the best players in the country, and we want to be a top-flight program. You want to play with this guy. And I think they could sell him on them being able to play both, because let's face it, Kobe Simmons could play whatever position he wanted for Xavier.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to – that's the issue. The question you have if you're Xavier in that scenario would be, let's just say it's Xavier Simpson. I'm not predicting it. Let's just say for the sake of this argument, it is. So the viewers at home – or not viewers, listeners, you know, understand what I'm saying. Here. Let's say Xavier commits on August 18th. The issue if you're Xavier University that you have to massage greatly is if we continue to recruit Kobe and X ends up decommitting and we don't get Kobe, then we're screwed on everything.
True.
And coaches are going to – they're going to play that worst-case scenario out in their heads. And so that's going to be one of the interesting factors to look forward to in how this all plays out. Now, they could miss on Xavier Simpson. They could miss on Quentin Gooden. They could miss on Kobe Simmons. We don't know that. So it's going to be a fun beginning of August into September to see how the point guard situation especially plays out, both from what the kids do and from how Xavier approaches it.
Yeah, and there's obviously a few other names, you know, like Shamari Pons that we've talked about on the board as well. And you can get more information on those guys. But I think what everyone at this point, I mean, including probably the coaching staff, if you really ask them about it, you know, everyone wants to know about these kind of, you know, Gooden, Simpson. And then obviously the new addition of Kobe Simmons being thrown in the mix is really exciting for fans. But I think that's the main storylines right there. So we'll go ahead and move on to the bigs. And this is really interesting too, because, you know, Xavier is probably going to take at least two more players, high school players in this class. And if you had to say, okay, it's going to be two, then it's probably a point guard and another big man to go along with Tyreek Jones. Dylan Painter, obviously one of their biggest targets or top priorities here in this 2016 class. He's been on campus on that official visit. He visited Iowa the week after. You know, it seemed like things went really well when he's at Xavier, and Xavier's all on board on trying to get him. It sounded like he played great at Peach Jam. First of all, what'd you think of his play? And then also, he got an offer from Providence. How much do you think that plays a factor in his recruitment?
You know, first of all, on his play, you know, this was my first time seeing him. When I saw a team final in Memorial Day, he was not there with an ankle injury. And I can honestly tell you, I was not expecting to like Dylan Painter as much as I did. I'm personally going to push for him as a top 100 player. I think he's really, really good. And in 2 or 3 years, I think he can be an all league type player in the Big East or the Big Ten or wherever. So he's got good footwork, good touch around the rim. He's really big and runs well. So Dylan Painter, someone I was real impressed with.
Real quick, just on the subject of him, I'm interested to hear a little more on your thoughts, just because when I watched him play, and I haven't seen him a ton either. I've seen him play a couple games now at this point. But like you said, he's got a big body, so that's obviously always intriguing. So it's legit size. But then he almost plays like Stainbrook. It was like a playmaking center to me. You know what I mean? Like, he could create offense by himself, and he had to do it really from a confined area because he was so slow and so big. Painter can face up and go to the perimeter and do a lot of those same things with his passing ability. How much did you get to see of that of him, and did you notice that at all as well?
I didn't see him do much of that in the game. He was mostly creating for himself off the dribble. Mm-hmm. When he went outside. So I didn't see the passing aspect. Now, he passed out of the post well, so there was that, but I didn't see kind of that playmaking from the perimeter in terms of getting others involved. But I can see where you're coming from on that, because he seems like he's got a good feel when he's got the ball.
Yeah, I just love that, because to me that gives guys a lot of upside. When they can create offense like that, it gives them so much upside to grow still. And granted, you still have to, you know, grow your skills, get bigger, stronger, all those other things, but it gives you a lot of upside when you have that type of skill set. Snow, what are some of the other names? What other guys did you see down at Peach Dam that they're interested, if any? And what are some of the other names you're hearing right now?
You know, Kevin Marfo, he was pretty good as
That's
well.
Right.
I think he's a half level below Painter. Painter's certainly the better prospect. But Marfo's good. He's no slouch. He's slightly undersized, though, so I would wonder about him with Tyreek Jones. I think you need a size guy next to Tyreek. Then the two other names I'm hearing, you know, Torian Thompson didn't play. He's out with, I believe, broken ribs. He's not playing all July. Xavier's probably going to work to get him on an official in August, probably as early as they possibly can. I don't know when that date will be. Arizona State's in there. Oklahoma's put in some work. I know Maryland's begun to call. Seton Hall's trying. But I think Xavier's in a pretty good position with Torian Thompson right now. And then they're still kicking the tires on James Banks. And certainly because of Kobe, you know, they're at every one of his games. And James Banks is someone that I think he's further from a decision than the other guys we've discussed, except for maybe Marfo. But they're still kicking the tires on him, and they've had him on campus in an unofficial capacity. So they're there. You know, they got the right guys on the board, and over the next 4 to 6 weeks, this is where the staff earns their money.
Yeah, the James Banks thing is going to be really interesting, because I don't think he has the slightest clue of what like where he's thinking about or what level he's necessarily at. And I don't even know if all the colleges that have offered him do either. I think a lot of people in the spring just threw out offers at him and said, we'll kind of figure it out as we go, because this kid has no clue. Like, he has no – he wouldn't commit if Duke offered him today. So,
yeah,
you know, like, I think a lot of schools were like, okay, we'll throw out an offer and then we'll figure it out later on. Like, if we find someone we like better, you know, we'll just never pick up the phone from the kid or something. But he's very early in the process. So it's going to be interesting to see how his continues to develop. One other name I did want to put out there, because now it's been pushed to me a couple times. And I know after the Adidas event where Steele and Pegues were watching Kobe Simmons and James Banks and Quentin Gooden and those guys, Steele left and went to Indianapolis and watched Eddie Ikior from CIA Bounce, which was the Canadian team that Simbalar once played for. If you remember the Simbalar recruiting saga, that's his team. They used to be Nike, now they're Adidas. So Eddie Ikior, 6'8", kind of, again, not a real big man. He's 6'8", 220, 225-ish, in 2016 from Canada, but playing at New Hampton prep school. A lot of offers, you know, Kansas State, Miami, Oregon, Providence, Vanderbilt, Villanova, Wake Forest, a lot of schools in there on him. But Xavier is one of the schools that seems like they've become more interested over the last month or so, 2 months, whatever it is. And he's been mentioning them a little bit more as well in interviews, I've noticed. So keep an eye on Eddie Ikior as well, as another potential big man name that might become a more prime target here. I know we haven't talked a lot about him on the message board, but again, his might be a name that comes up a little more frequently. Snow, that is not the last subject we have to talk about, though, because, of course, Markel Fultz, one of the big names still in this 2016 class out there for Xavier. They've been trying so hard on this guy. Mike Pegues has put them in a great position, but it just keeps getting tougher and tougher. And over this last week, it got significantly tougher because he had an offer from Kentucky after the Under Armour, or during the Under Armour All-American camp in Atlanta, and they're in Charlotte. But that's Kentucky's kind of the school that everyone's been worried about with him, because that kind of seemed to be the dream school early on. He maybe have been a little tiffed that they didn't show more interest early, but now that they've offered, this becomes certainly an uphill battle for everyone else, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's got some massaging to do. There's no question about that. But I don't know necessarily that it'd be smart to bet against Kentucky here. Right now, he's got a visit to Arizona. I think it'll be like the second week in August. He's probably going to visit Washington as well. And then he's been everywhere else. Is he going to make official visits to a Kentucky, to a Louisville, to a Xavier? You know, will he get to Ohio State? That's going to be interesting. I think we'll know a lot more in a couple weeks here. I talked to Markel today. He said he wanted to narrow it down after this week. However, you know, this is a kid who wanted to have a decision before July. This is a kid who wanted to make official visits all through June and August. And I don't know if you're scoring at home, but he hasn't made one official visit yet. So clearly there's a lot. It's been a slower process than he always seems to say it's going to be.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the thing there. And, you know, Xavier probably has to get him, even though he's been on campus three times. He's visited Xavier more than anywhere but Maryland. And the only reason he's been to Maryland more is because it's literally right across the street from his high school. So, but I don't think he's really seriously considering Maryland. But even though he's been to Xavier three times, I think for Xavier to get him, realistically, they need to either get him on an official or an unofficial before the decision date. I wouldn't completely rule that out, but one has not been set up. As I said, you know, in a couple weeks, it'll be key that Xavier first makes the cut and then that they can get him on campus. I just think it would be tough to see him committing to Xavier in September or October, and his last time on campus was April. That just seems unlikely to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the thing about his recruitment is early on, all I ever heard was UK. When UK finally decides to offer, they'll, you know, that's his school. And then more recently, you know, it seemed like Louisville and Arizona were the two schools that I was hearing a lot after, you know, UK hadn't offered and we had gotten all the way into July. So it's going to be interesting. One of the sources I talked to after this weekend seemed to think that Louisville was still really in there as well. So it, I don't think anyone really has a great feel for how this is about to play out in the final weeks, months, however long it's going to take for Markell to decide. And that might even include Markell at this point, because as you mentioned, he keeps pushing things back and doesn't seem to really want to tell anyone that they're not his choice.
Yeah, from talking to Markell, talking to, his trainer, Keith Williams, who's really helping the family with the process, I think they haven't gotten to the serious stage yet of, chopping schools and really, really discussing who leads. So I think that'll take place after Under Armour this week, or at least start to take place. Obviously, Xavier and Washington are the two schools with the relationship with Markell and his mother. I think it's a pretty safe bet both will make the cut. I don't know that for sure. Arizona's going to make the cut. I think Louisville will. I think Kentucky will. So that would be my five if I had to guess. But with Markell, it's a little tough to tell, and I honestly don't think at this point that he knows.
All right, Snow, any final thoughts just wrapping up? I mean, again, you were at Peach Jam the entire time during the evaluation period, but you're always talking to coaches and other sources and getting all types of information. Any final thoughts on the week that was for Xavier in recruiting?
People were blown away with Tyreek Jones.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I didn't see him, obviously, but his team won the Adidas deal, and Tyreek did put up huge scoring numbers, and on that team, he better not put up huge scoring numbers or else someone's doing something wrong.
Right.
But, people are just like, man, that kid's a beast. He's an animal. He's one of the best rebounders in the country. He's just a freak athlete with long arms. As I put on the message board, he's the varsity version of Jamel McLean.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to Jamel and his agent, who seems to read things I say on Twitter about his jump shot. But, Tyreek's a higher motor, tougher, bigger, more athletic version of Jamel McLean. And trust me, that plays at the high major level.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a really nice piece. And we don't like player comparisons. And I completely agree with that one. Like, that is a very accurate description, I feel like, of Tyreek Jones' game. When I see him, you think Jamel McLean, but a little bit better in a lot of different aspects. I think that. And the other thing about Tyreek is, of course, he's already putting him up there in fan favorite category by dunking and throwing up X's to the crowd and Chris Mack when he's in attendance. So the fans are all over Tyreek on Twitter. So that's working out really well for everybody at this point, I think. Snow, appreciate all the recruiting insight. We'll probably do this again after, the next evaluation period coming up here in a week. So I appreciate everybody tuning in as well. You've been listening to another edition of the Dana Victory Podcast, only available on MusketeerReport.com.
Zipper noise.